a freaking village. It's Mr. Irrelevant, the Friday edition, presented by Door County Distillery. I'm Alex Strofe with you from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio. No Joshy DiMaggio today. No producer Tiny Hands Hunter Vaughn back at the Everlight Solar Studio in Madison. We've got like 800 people back there. It's 12:37, so we are 7 minutes later than we typically are. I thought it was going to be at least 15, so I guess props to everybody back at the Everlight Solar Studio for getting us on 7 minutes late. Riley Yauch is in for Tiny Hands today. Ryan Wollersheim, I think, is kind of also in for Tiny Hands today because, look, Tiny Hands is a wizard. I'll give it to him, right? Like, he makes the show look pretty. We're on time every day. He's usually on with me an hour before the show to say, hey, Strofe, what do you need? What can I get ready for you? I text Riley Yauch at 11:11, like, bro, you in today? Riley, what the hell took so long? What's going on today, dude?
Okay.
Aren't you, like, excited and happy to be here? What's going on?
All righty. One sec. Let me get myself on the
one
screen
sec.
Properly.
It's been 7 minutes. One sec.
Okay. So when you first texted, I was on a run without my phone. So I was not able to text you back promptly. Yeah,
go
I was on
work.
A run. Well, I wasn't supposed to.
It was 11 a.m.
Yeah. And the show doesn't start. Well, it wasn't supposed to start until 12:30.
And how'd that run go for you, pal?
It went,
here we are at 12:38.
It went well
talking
enough.
About all the issues we're having.
Yeah, it went well enough. I'll admit, I was not as prepared as I should have been today. Shout out Ryan Wollersheim. Otherwise, the show definitely would have started at least 15 minutes later than scheduled. Yeah, that's about all I have to say.
That's all you've got?
What do you want from me?
Wow. Well, are you sure you want to ask that question?
No.
I'm
no,
gonna
I
give
don't.
You an opportunity to take that back.
No, yeah. We don't need to hear the answer to that question. I'm just going to say I wasn't as prepared as I should have been today, and we're going to leave it at that. I'm not going to try and defend myself. So we
can leave it at that.
We'll leave it there.
You dork. That's wrong. Young Riley Yauch producing the show today. This might be a doozy, but glad to have you here on a Friday. Badgers kickoff tonight. That's exciting. We've got college football. I was actually going to start the show, but I was so angry. I was going to start the show with the fact that last night, Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes played North Dakota State, FBS-FCS matchup, and barely won. Their defense is very bad. But at the end of the game, Deion Sanders said to the reporter on ESPN, I don't cuss, but I thought it. And what I was going to say to start the show is just like Deion, I don't cuss on the show, but I've done nothing but think it for the last 8 minutes as we are very late on a Friday. But good to be with you nonetheless here as we get ready for Wisconsin Badgers Western Michigan tonight. That's at Camp Randall Stadium in Madison. Week one of the college football season. Should be an easy win for the Badgers. They are 24-point favorites. I think that's moved up to 24.5-point favorites against Western Michigan, who last year had one of the worst defenses in the country. They allowed everybody to score on. So hopefully this is like an easy tune-up game for the Badgers. We'll get to that. We are 1 week away from Packers football. Here at ESPN Milwaukee, we had like a little theme day. It's Football Friday. We're in like this internal competition thing amongst all of our markets in Cleveland and Chicago and West Palm and LA and New York and Madison and Beaver Dam and all of our awesome GKB markets. So that's why I'm wearing a Jordan Love jersey on a Badgers game day. It's just one I keep in my desk. So anyway, we made it. We did it. We're here. We're on the air. We're talking to you. We're excited. Deep breath. Let's talk Badgers football. Badgers get ready for Western Michigan tonight, as mentioned, 24.5-point favorites here in the opener at Camp Randall Stadium. And look, there's a lot of question marks for this Badgers team. I don't want to call year one under Luke Fickell, quote unquote, underwhelming, though. With all the hype leading into last season, you would have thought the expectation was that's a team that's going to compete for a national championship in year one. Now, football happened, right? Injuries happened. Tanner Mordecai goes down. Braylon Allen goes down. You lose Chesum Lucy for the year early on in the year. So things didn't necessarily shake out exactly the way you would hope they would. Now, you enter year two of the Luke Fickell regime still with decent enough hopes, but the win total at most sports books is still only 6.5. So the idea is they will keep the bowl eligibility streak alive, which is the third longest in the country, over 20. I think it's 22 years in a row or something like that. They've made a bowl game in a row. The hope is that stays alive with the win total at 6.5. But when you have Alabama and USC and Penn State, et cetera, Oregon on the schedule, you're going to have some tough battles. Now, three of those games that I mentioned, Penn State, Oregon, and Alabama, who are all top 10 teams right now in the AP poll, will play at Camp Randall Stadium, so at least you get them on your home field. But this is still a team who's going to have to overcome a lot of adversity to get to 7 or 8 wins this year. You know, that's just assuming they don't drop one they shouldn't, which, as we've learned as Badgers fans over the course of the last couple of years, they tend to lose games they shouldn't. Maybe not Western Michigan bad, but a Northwestern bad. Or a couple of years ago, remember when they lost to Indiana, a basketball school? Yeah, that happened. And they lost to Illinois in Paul Chryst's final game. Like, they typically lose games they probably shouldn't. So hopefully that is not the case here in year two under Luke Fickell. The big questions for me, number one, is what is year two of the Phil Longo offense look like? All the hype around the air raid and what that will bring to Madison was the big question the last couple of years. What will that look like in year two under Phil Longo? And the transfer quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, who was the ACC Freshman of the Year several years ago now at Miami, comes in from Miami, wins the starting job, and in his final season, similarly to Tanner Mordecai, looks to light up the Big Ten a little bit in this air raid offense. The Badgers are confident in the top of their receiving core. They've got some really good names in there, including Will Pauling, who had a really nice year in his first year as a Badger last year. They look for C.J. Williams, the transfer from USC a few years back, to take that next step into the starting lineup this year and light it up. And of course, you still have Bryson Green at wide receiver. So there are some names in that room, especially against a team like Western Michigan, who, for being frank, isn't very good defensively, should be able to light them up. I'm really excited to see Tyler Van Dyke in game action because I really don't know what to expect. He's a good quarterback, I think. Can he get to that next level? Can he make himself an NFL draft prospect? And can he not turn the ball over, right? Those are the big things you look for. We're not used to, by any means, a quote-unquote air raid offense in Madison. We're not used to a sexy-looking offense in terms of the passing game. It's typically not what Wisconsin is. So what can Tyler Van Dyke do? I have the utmost confidence in running back Chez Malusi, who's going to be the lead horse for them this year. But he's coming off of a broken leg. Now, he's been working out. He's full go. He's not being held back at all. I'm really excited to see what he's capable of. But I don't expect like a Melvin Gordon, Jonathan Taylor type year from a guy like Chez Malusi. Maybe I'm wrong. So we will see as the Badgers open their season tonight. 24.5. Riley, you think they cover tonight? 24, three touchdowns and a field goal. More than Western Michigan. I think my final score prediction, we do these score graphics on social at ESPN Madison. I put 34-10. So I essentially said they would... They would not cover technically, I guess. Would be a push at 24 flat. You think they cover tonight? Are we gonna have a lot of offensive output? Where's your head at? You're in Madison. You're a recent UW grad. Bring me up to speed on your thoughts on this Badgers team.
Yeah, I think they definitely can cover tonight. My prediction's actually the same as Molly Brown's score prediction, 45-10. I believe the Badgers can get it done today. Yeah, 45. I think the team's going to look a lot better. I think they're very much improved, and I'm really interested in seeing the O-line play, actually. After listening to Barry Alvarez talk on the Great Dane Huddle, comparing his thoughts from watching the O-line at practice last year, where they were getting blown up every play. Last year, you had all the penalties, the really slow snaps. Like, everything was just off with the offensive line. The running game couldn't get going, then you couldn't set up the pass. Like, the whole offense was just in shambles, and I think it started with the offensive line. And Barry Alvarez said after watching practice this year, it looks a lot better. It looks a lot better. So I'm excited. With that base, I think the Badgers' offense is going to be significantly improved. Like you said, I hope Van Dyke's a good quarterback. We don't really know right now.
No.
And he was streaky. He battled through a lot of adversity at Miami. But overall, like, I'm optimistic. Not as optimistic as I was going into last season, but cautiously, very still optimistic about this team. I think they're going to do...
Cautiously, very still optimistic.
Yes.
Okay, I think I know what you're saying.
Yes.
You're cautiously optimistic, but very cautiously
exactly,
optimistic.
Exactly. I still think they're going to do some great things this year. I think, yeah, everything's in front of them. Everything's in front of them. And if you remember, I was just reading this the other day.
In front of them.
The similarities between this team and the 2016 team, coming into the season unranked, you got a big game against a top five SEC team in the first couple weeks, and no one's really expecting anything from you. Tough schedule. I think we could get another 2016. And remember who we played at the end of 2016, Western Michigan, so it's all full circle. Here we go. National championship run starts today.
Now that's the energy I needed. The national championship run starts today. Yeah, I don't know if I'm with that because you're very still cautious. How'd you say that? Cautiously, very still optimistic. Yeah, I'm with you. Look, I think there are several points you made there that are important for the optimism, right? If you want to be glass half full on this Badgers team, despite the incredibly difficult schedule they have over the course of the next 12 weeks, this is year two. You have more time to implement your stuff, whether that's philosophy, whether that is the actual game plan, the execution of said game plan, schematics, more recruits in the transfer portal that are more yours than guys that committed to Paul Christ a few years ago. There is where your optimism can lie. You have another year of implementation of the Luke Fickell regime and Mike Tressel defensively, Phil Longo offensively. Offensive line improvement from the Don is certainly a good indication. Now, I haven't seen it, but if Barry Alvarez has seen it, that guy knows a little bit more about football than either Riley or I do, so I tend to trust what he says on that. Remembering back and thinking back to the frustrations last year with the Wisconsin Badgers was this is a team that has always gotten by on winning in the trenches, right? Offensive line play has always been their thing. O-line University is what they were nicknamed and pretty much still are nicknamed, but not as much last year. They struggled up front. They did. Hopefully this year, that isn't the case. I talked with Jack Nelson, the left tackle, at Big Ten Media Days a couple weeks ago out in Indianapolis. And that guy's just all about ball. The pride of Stoughton, Wisconsin, just south of Madison, the big left tackle. So I'm optimistic that up front things will look better. And Riley mentioned the Great Dane Huddle, which I hosted the past 3 years when I was still in Madison. Derek Engler, the former center, played in the Super Bowl with the New York Giants in the early 2000s and obviously was a center at Wisconsin back in the early 90s when Barry Alvarez took over and completely changed the culture in Madison. That's where games are won, in the trenches. And if Wisconsin is not only good, but dominant in the trenches like we are used to, specifically offensively, I have a good feeling about where this team can go. If you keep Van Dyke healthy, untouched, and buy him time, good things will develop for this offense because I do trust Phil Longo as an offensive line. So we will see. 24 points. Daniel on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube chat says, tonight is a great time to throw back some Door County Distillery bourbon. Hell yeah, brother. I'll be right there with you. A couple rocks. Couple splashes, maybe. I don't know. I'm off tomorrow. Maybe more than a couple splashes. Three or four fingers. Enjoy some bourbon. Yeah, baby. You can get it, Daniel. It's my guy right there. Crack that puppy up. Well, that sounded more like a beer than a bourbon, but I understand the point Riley was trying to make there. I like his efforts nonetheless. I do want to touch on this before we get to a break. Then we'll talk Packers. We'll wrap it up. But she said, Bucky, 55-17 is the score prediction on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube stream. Chime in with yours. Curious what you think this is going to be. 55-17, says She Said Bucky. I like that confidence. I like that confidence from She Said Bucky. Let's talk Jack Del Rio. This was interesting. This came out just the day before kickoff for the Wisconsin Badgers. The former NFL head coach with the Jacksonville Jaguars and the, at the time, Oakland Raiders, has been hired to the Wisconsin staff as a senior advisor to Luke Fickell. So a senior advisor of the head coach is Jack Del Rio's title. He also spent time with the Denver Broncos from 2012 to 2014 as their defensive coordinator. That's when Monte Ball played there, the former Badger and former co-host of ours on ESPN Wisconsin. Monte Ball was obviously a running back, but he spent time with Del Rio in Denver during his time in the NFL. He was hyped up to see this news I saw on Twitter. This is a big swing, right? You're not hiring him as a defensive coordinator. Because when you think of the philosophy of Wisconsin, right, you have Luke Fickell as the head coach, who, of course, is a defensive guy, a former defensive coordinator. Mike Tressel, a very good defensive coordinator. At least he has been. Maybe not so much last year, but overall in his career, his coaching career, he's been a very good defensive coordinator. You bring in Jack Del Rio as a special advisor to the head coach. Now, I haven't asked anybody because, and maybe I should have, but I didn't want to bother anybody on a game day or the day prior to a game day about exactly what that means, exactly what his role within the program would be. But given the way that college athletics has evolved and changed over the course of the past few years, I would guess this is kind of like an assistant head coaching gig. Now, I don't know how many game day, you know, responsibilities Del Rio will have. But when you think about what Luke Fickell has to do as a head coach of a program that he is not only trying to rebuild, but remain prominent during this regular season, he's out recruiting. He's doing the interviews. He's meeting with players. He's trying to recruit internally, given the current stage of college athletics. He said it himself. He's more of a figurehead than he really is a football coach, which, unfortunately, that's just the day and age we live in college athletics. So I think Del Rio coming in is more of a football hire than it is necessarily a university hire or a program hire. This to me seems like a football hire. Bring in a good defensive mind to be your quote unquote senior advisor. I love this. This tells me the Badgers are doing whatever they can to win, whatever they can to get better than every other team in the Big Ten. The expanded Big Ten. So Del Rio in Madison is actually a hire that really excites me. Now, I know he's a failed head coach for the most part. He had a nice run in Jacksonville, was there 8 years or 9 years, but was fired last year as the defensive coordinator of the Washington Commanders, was fired as a head coach in Oakland, was fired as a D coordinator in Denver. I mean, and obviously, right, you don't retire when you're Jack Del Rio. You either stay or you get fired. That's just coaching life. But he's very, very experienced. He's obviously a good defensive mind. I love this hire for the Wisconsin Badgers. Think this is a really heady play and a really smart play on their end. So Jack Del Rio is officially a Wisconsin Badger. I did not see that news, especially a day before game day, kind of like a day before game day news dump. Like, oh, yeah, by the way, Jack Del Rio, former NFL head coach, is here. And we know the relationship Luke Fickell has with Mike Vrabel, who stopped in Madison a few times this summer. You're bringing smart football minds in the building. It's only going to help elevate you. And to Riley's point earlier, this is a team who's unranked. They didn't get a lot of votes in the first AP poll. I think they were technically like 32nd with the votes they did receive overall. It's a team with a lot to prove, but not a lot of pressure. There's no target on their back. They should have a little chip on their shoulder. They should play like underdogs and the forgotten team. That's how they should play this season. So exciting opportunity for Bucky. 24-point favorites tonight against Western Michigan. Looking forward to watching that. 8 o'clock kickoff tonight in Madison. So under the lights on a Friday night. Ooh, welcome back, college football. Good to see you. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we will talk a little Green Bay Packers. We are 1 week from kickoff, week from today. Green Bay game day's back. I'll be with you on the pregame show again on 620 WTMJ and all of our ESPN Wisconsin stations, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Beaver Dam. I'm looking forward to being back on the pregame shows. So 1 week from today, beginning at 4 o'clock, we're previewing Packers Eagles. Can't wait for that. All right, let's take a break. First, I got to tell you, I just talked about them. Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits. It is bourbon season. Football's here. It's bourbon season in my mind. They've got a great bourbon. They also have a great single malt whiskey, 27-time gold medal award winner. Also, a really good rye whiskey from Door County Distillery. Try all three. They're all really good and different. They've all got their own accents and tastes. You got to check them out for yourself. But if you maybe you're not a whiskey person, you can check out their brandies. They've got cherry brandy. They've got apple brandy. Good and old fashions, good fall drinks you can make with the apple brandy, kind of like an adult apple cider. They've got great rum if you're a rum person. Vodkas, of course, green bottle of gin, if that's your cup of tea. Everything they do it better than everybody else. They're a local company. Support local business. Support local distilleries. and support delicious distilleries. Which at DoorCountyDistillery.com to find the retailer nearest you and a ginormous list of unique cocktail recipes, including some we made up on the fly, which you see our videos. We're about to play one, 60 seconds long. We made some up over the course you'll see through the remainder of the year. Those are on the website now. So you got to check it out. DoorCountyDistillery.com. We'll pause 60 seconds when we come back. We talk Green Bay Packers football. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strove. Back in Carlsville at the legendary Door County Distillery with my buddy Rob from Door County Distillery. And we have a Door County Distillery exclusive in front of us right now, Rob. Cherries, bourbon, two of my favorite things. Put them together. You got right. Door County Distillery beautiful. Cherry bourbon. It's beautiful. We're just doing shots?
Yeah. We're just going to celebrate. Straight up. I mean, it is good for mixed drinks. You put it old fashions, Manhattans, but sometimes you just want to straight up take a little shot of it.
I won't complain about that. Like I said, two of my favorite things, cherries, bourbon, Door County cherries, bourbon. I can't complain. Yeah. Cheers to you, buddy. Thanks Cheers. A lot.
Prost.
Ooh, that's tasty. Oh, that's good.
Yep.
That's really smooth.
Get that cherry flavor. Yep. Not a whole lot of burn. Beautiful.
That's terrific. Door County Distillery exclusive, the cherry bourbon. Check out their website with a huge list of unique cocktail recipes at DoorCountyDistillery.com. That's DoorCountyDistillery.com. Distillery.com is the website for that. So we've had a few days to kind of digest the kicker news for the Green Bay Packers. As earlier in the week, of course, they cut the former draft pick at Anders Carlson. They go out and sign the undrafted free agent who kicked in the preseason for Tennessee. That's Braden Narveson. And then they go ahead and release Greg Joseph. So they've brought like five or six different kickers in over the course of the last 6 months, which includes Anders Carlson, to try out for this job. And ultimately, it lands with Braden Narveson. I said Wednesday when we got the news, I was very excited about it. You know, I made the joke, oh, their problems are solved. They've got a kicker. And the truth is, we really don't know that. You know, like, Braden Narveson is still a rookie kicker. And while he had a nice preseason, 6 of 7 overall, the only miss was from 58 yards, and he was 2 for 2 on extra points, was really good in college, never missed an extra point in college, and I know it's not an NFL extra point, but still didn't miss one in college. That's got to be worth something. Now, you know, he took 196 attempts, no blocks, no misses. Worth something. I think he was a 78% kicker in terms of field goal percentage in college. It's a little bit better than Anders Carlson, who was just a touch under 72% in college. But I don't know if this solves your problem necessarily. You have no time with him. He's never had a real full-blown NFL game. But he is your kicker, is Braden Narveson. So again, I don't know if this necessarily solves the problems you had. But I'm open to the idea of trying something new. Tiny Hands always says this when it comes down to kicker battles. If you don't like your guy, cut him, try another one. If you don't like him, cut him, get another one. You know, you don't need to take your time on it like the Packers did all offseason. And all of a sudden, for a take that I said was stupid in the offseason, I'm starting to agree with it. Because if you think back to the last month and a half, I think we were all under the impression it was going to be Anders Carlson or it was going to be Greg Joseph. And when they brought in Alex Hale, I thought there was a very long shot chance, who they brought back on their practice squad, and he is their international player prospect, their IPP, because he's Australian. So they get to kind of keep him, and they get rewarded for that. So they can develop him, and maybe he'll turn into something. But Braden Narveson is the next man up, and he will be your kicker to start the regular season next week in Brazil. Now, one note I do really like about Braden Narveson that has nothing to do with his kicking ability is the fact that he's wearing jersey number 44. That's cool. I mean, college kickers and punters wear weird numbers. You think about, like, Brad Nortman, for example, wore number 98 in college when he was punting at Wisconsin. It's cool when you're a weird number as a kicker or a punter. And the NFL is starting to adapt that now over the course of the last few years. Receivers can wear single digits. And now kickers can wear kind of whatever they want. Number 44. When I think of Packers that wore the number 44, two of them come to mind. They're both running backs. Most recently, James Starks was number 44. And then if we go back to the 2000s, Najee Davenport wore number 44 for the Green Bay Packers. Now you got Braden Narveson, the Narv dog. This doesn't solve your issue, but hey, it gives me at least a tad more confidence than I had in Anders Carlson. And we saw it, right? Like, we had all of last offseason, had the regular season and the postseason, went through another offseason/preseason with Anders, and it just never got better. Greg Joseph has bounced all over the league because he's probably not your worst option, but he's probably closer to like kicker 32 or 33 in the league. Is that worth it, or do you take a swing on a guy who's got a really strong leg, had a nice preseason with the Titans, and hopefully can hone his craft much quicker than Anders Carlson did? That's the hope. So, I don't hate it, but I don't know how much it excites me as much as it did on Wednesday. I'm taking a step back from my excitement that I had on Wednesday when it came to the Narv dog than I am today. But we will see 1 week from today. It is Packers-Eagles in Brazil, kicking off on Peacock. I'm jacked up, man. Badgers play tonight, get the Packers a week from today. Football season's officially here. No more waiting, no more speculating. A few more days for the Packers will speculate. We're going to have real full-blown product a week from today in Brazil. And that includes Braden Arvidsson. But that also includes Jaden Reed. That includes Dontavian Wicks and Christian Watson and Luke Musgrave and Josh Jacobs and Quay Walker and Jair Alexander and Xavier McKinney and Kenny Clark and Rashawn Gary. You get Zach Tom. You get Rashid Walker. Like, this is, it's here. And as much as we have overthought, and maybe not over-evaluated, but we've overthought the kicking discrepancies. And how many snaps will Dontavian Wicks truly get? We don't really have to ponder that much longer. We're going to have a real game in which the Green Bay Packers, wearing their greens, by the way, we'll talk about that in a second, take on a really good NFC team. An opponent that they will be jockeying for playoff positioning for or against as it comes down to the end of the regular season. This is a big test. And we'll talk about it plenty next week. But this is a real big test for the Green Bay Packers. I prefer to start the season this way than, say, playing a team you don't have a lot of faith in or don't expect to be a playoff team or a real contender. The Philadelphia Eagles are a real playoff team and a real contender. And I saw a graphic on social media yesterday that was like, which offense is better? And it showed Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown versus Josh Jacobs, Jordan Love, and Christian Watson. Now, as exciting as this young Packers offense is with the addition of Josh Jacobs and the contract extension of Jordan Love, I don't know that their offense is quite to the level of the Eagles, who also upgraded their defense. Now, I'm not saying the Packers lose next week, because anything can happen, especially in week one. But this is a really good test. And if you think back to past week ones, you can't always put a ton of stock into how it plays out, right? Because the Packers could win, let's just take the score I used for the Badger game. They could win 34-10, and we could all think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl after week one. Or they could lose 28-3. Hopefully that doesn't happen, but they could. And you think back to a few years ago when Matt LaFleur took over as the head coach of the Packers, and it was 2 years in a row against the Saints and Vikings, respectively, where it was just kind of a doozy in the opener. They didn't play starters in the preseason, which they didn't do a lot of this year. And they came out flat. I don't anticipate that to be the case this year, given the excitement around Brazil and the international game and having a national spotlight on you on a Friday night. But I don't know how much stock you can put into week one, but I like that they're starting the season against a tough opponent because it is a measuring stick of sorts, regardless of it being week one. Riley, go ahead.
I hate to interrupt this football talk. However, we have the Brewers game on here in the Everlight Solar Studio, and Jackson Churio just grounded out and hobbled back to the dugout. He hasn't made it back to the dugout, but he can barely walk. He stepped awkwardly. They just showed the slow-mo. Hopefully, this isn't anything serious, but he twisted his ankle pretty bad and can't walk. Well, right now, he's being assisted off the field in Cincinnati. It does not look great initially. So I know we're talking Packers. I know we're excited for the Badgers tonight. However, I felt this was worth the breaking news. Yeah.
I'm no longer excited.
Yeah, this took a bit of the wind out of my sails too. This hurts to watch.
So just instant reaction reading on the internet because I do not have the game on as we are attempting to do a show. Looks like it might just be an ankle twist. You saw the replay. You tell me if that's... I know you're not a doctor. I'm not telling you to diagnose him, but it looks like it might just be a twisted ankle. Hopefully that's the case.
That's the thing. Like, I'm sure everyone's had bad twisted ankles before where you feel like you can barely walk and then you're fine the next day. Hopefully it's just one of those. He kind of rolled over it as he was stepping on first base. And I don't know. I just don't like the visual of him being helped to the dugout right now.
I do not either. That is certainly not ideal for Jackson Chourio. Man.
Yeah, this has been a rough show.
Oh, really? Yeah, you're doing a dynamite job, might I add.
Yeah.
So it started with you making this very late.
Yep.
And now you are reporting the news that the Brewers' best player is being helped off the field. Good stuff.
Yes.
Hope he's all right. We will we'll keep you updated if anything changes. I imagine we will not have a diagnosis in the next few minutes, but I would guess we will in the next few hours because today is a doubleheader for the Brewers. Game number 2, 5:40 Central against the Reds. So this is game 1 of 2 today. Just given the circumstance, Riley, I will go ahead and say Jackson Chourio is done for the day. I would imagine they will not be risking it with Jackson Chourio anymore, but not ideal. Not ideal. All right, we will see. We will see. Riley Uck, Alex Stroff with you here on Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery. Since football season is here, I did want to let everybody know something new that I've got going on, which you can find on the Apple Podcast and Spotify feed. You can also find this on ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel each and every Thursday at noon. Jason Wilde and I are going to deep dive into the Packers, things that he observes at 1265 Lombardi during the week leading up to the following game each and every week. It just launched yesterday, was episode 1 with me and Jason Wilde. And I thought we had a really interesting conversation. You know, I had this theory, and I Jason's covered the Packers. This is year 29 for him with the Wisconsin State Journal and us here at ESPN Wisconsin. I had a thought that Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Green Bay Packers, has maybe changed his philosophy a bit when it comes to roster construction. As, you know, he's seeing him give up on Anders Carlson as early as he did, and you know, thinking back to Amari Rodgers, who we'll hear Jason Wilde talk a bit about, it seems to me like his philosophy of roster construction has changed a bit in his tenure as the GM. And he's acting more like, hey, we're a championship team. Let's make the moves that make us best for this year rather than saying, hey, we'll have these developmental pieces. So here is a back and forth about 5 or 6 minutes long from this week's edition of Weekly Wilde with Jason Wilde and myself that you can find in full about 35 minutes on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube channel. You can find it in the Mr. Irrelevant podcast feed every Thursday as a bonus episode. And it's in a bunch of other podcast feeds as well. Green and Gold Fix podcast feed, the Jason Wilde podcast feed. We're doing this every Thursday. I'm really looking forward to picking his brain and educating myself, but also everybody else on some of the Green Bay Packers topics. Maybe we're not touching on all of our radio shows and maybe not on Mr. Irrelevant. So here's a back and forth Jason Wilde had and I had yesterday on the first ever edition of Weekly Wilde. The evolution of Brian Gutekunst, the general manager of the Packers, and the way he constructs rosters, because this year in particular, it seems like he is admitting defeat on draft picks that didn't work out, specifically Sean Clifford, Michael Pratt, and of course the aforementioned Anders Carlson. And in years past, it seems like a big knock on Goody is he's loyal to a fault with guys he drafted, a la Amari Rodgers. Like, that experiment went way too long. You've covered this guy now every year, obviously, of his tenure, both as a scout and now as this year 7 or 8 as the general manager for Brian Gutekunst. How have you seen him evolve specifically when it comes to roster construction? Because it seems like his tone, and you mentioned earlier, it seems like Rich Bisaccia isn't really playing a role anymore. This is Goody's roster. It seems like he's changing his ways a bit as he grows as the general manager of the Packers.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I disagree with your premise.
Really?
Because I think for 1 year, you're on scholarship if you're a draft pick. Now, Michael Pratt was a 7th-round pick.
Right. low risk.
The fifth round pick that they used on Sean Clifford is a little more of a premium pick, right? I can go through the list of fifth round picks, including Dontavion Wicks, who have turned out to be potentially very good players, right? It goes back to Corey Linsley, and before that, you know, Dorsey Levens was a fifth round pick. So those are no joke picks. And when you use them on a punter, like he did on J.K. Scott a number of years ago, or you use them on a backup quarterback, you're picking them because you intend for them to be on your team. And look, they did bring Clifford back on the practice squad. And there's no guarantee that Malik Willis is going to be an upgrade. In fact, he's still a developmental project player at this point, right? Like he was in Tennessee for two full seasons and a training camp, and he had three different offensive coordinators and three different offenses. And now he's with the Packers. So in less than three NFL seasons, he will have had four systems. Yeah. So I'm curious to see how he fares, because to this point, you know, he fell in the draft and has not been able to show what he's capable of in the NFL. He's only started three games. His team is 1-2 in those games. So they brought back Clifford because I don't think they're fully giving up on him. I do think that they decided that, I don't know what it was about Pratt, is a strong arm, but I don't think they felt like he was a good fit. So I don't think they would have brought him back had he not chosen to go to Tampa Bay on their practice squad. So yes, he gave up on a couple of draft picks, right? He gave up on Royce Newman. Some might argue, you know, I know Rob Domofsky would argue long after he should have given up on Royce Newman. But 9 of his 11 draft picks from this class made it. And I think you get 1 year grace, even if you don't do a whole lot. Like Travis Glover, their sixth round pick, who made it as an offensive lineman. I mean, he ran with the threes for a good chunk of training camp, but we're investing a draft pick in you. We're going to give you the opportunity to grow. The Amari Rodgers thing, I think, is a one-off personally. And as has been proven, he obviously hasn't been good enough, but, and again, I don't know him that well, but I do wonder if he is maybe one of those guys that he got off to a difficult start. His quarterback was a jerk to him, and it affected his confidence to the point that he never recovered, because he was talented. If you saw him in college, you knew he was a talented player. But I found myself wondering if he would have gone to a different team with a different quarterback and a different situation and had the same amount of time to grow, if he might have had a different level of confidence. I mean, I just think success in the NFL, yeah, you have to be talented, but guess what? Almost all of them are. So yeah. As Tausch will tell you, I don't know, I put him away.
Where is it? Yeah, where'd he go?
I lost him. Oh, here he is. As Tausch would tell you, it's also about the situation you go to, right? Like, Tausch had an 11-year NFL career, right? He went to a team where Larry Bechtel was a perfect offensive line coach for him, and then James Campen after that. He went to a team where the starting right tackle had back problems, and he got a ridiculous amount of snaps in training camp to get him ready. And Tausch deserves all the credit in the world for taking advantage of the opportunity, but he thought he might be going to the Seattle Seahawks at one point. The Seattle Seahawks may not have offered him the same opportunities, and 2 years later, he gets cut without ever having gotten to play. And so situations matter. And I think what we're seeing with this group is that Goody has put together a lot of talent. There's no denying that. The question is, how does it come together? Because it came together great during the second half of last season, but there are some spots on this roster that even those that are Goody stands, not speaking of anyone in particular, they have to acknowledge that those holes are there. And that's the kicking situation's a mess. Their depth on the offensive line is unproven. And at running back now, because of the A.J. Dillon situation, they've got two guys that are young, inexperienced, unproven, and you cannot take Josh Jacobs and have him play 90% of the snaps and have him be ready by season's end still.
That Jason Wilde and myself on Weekly Wilde, a new weekly podcast and digital series you can find every Thursday at noon throughout the 2024 NFL season. Really looking forward to this. I think it offers a unique perspective, obviously, from Wilde, who I mentioned has covered the Packers now in his 29th year with the Wisconsin State Journal and ESPN Wisconsin, up close and personal with Green Bay. But he's in the locker room. He's in the building every week. He has some perspective that maybe you won't hear on Wilde and Tausch and all of his appearances across our stations. And I think it allows me to kind of put him in a hot, not a hot seat necessarily, but throw things at him that me as a Packers fan, I have thoughts on or whatever else, you know, comes to mind. So, should be really fun. Looking forward to that. But you can find the video in full on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. You can find the audio version of that, in the Mr. Irrelevant podcast feed, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand, or wherever you get your podcast. So now you'll hear us four times a week. Our normal show Monday, Wednesday, Friday, but also Weekly Wilde each and every Thursday. All right, time to wrap up the show. You learn something new every day. I learned something new today. It's time now for What We Learned. Riley was late for the show. He's only made like two mistakes during the show. Let's see if he remembered to bring something to What We Learned. Riley, do you have anything?
I do. I thought of it during the show.
Wow.
So I
you
have a little.
You shouldn't have told me that, but it's fine.
At work. Still, I do. Still, I have something, and that something is I learned yesterday that Minnesota still sucks. It's awesome.
Yeah, they do.
The Minnesota Golden Gophers under PJ Fleck are still a terrible football team. I watched most of the game. I was kind of alternating between Colorado and North Dakota State and Minnesota, North Carolina, and I am not worried about Minnesota competing in this new 18-team Big Ten whatsoever. Their kicker of the year, all Big Ten, whatever, missed two field goals, one of them being a chip shot, one of them to win the game, both from the same hash mark. They're not good. PJ Fleck sucks. Minnesota sucks. I loved seeing their fan base in shambles. And yeah, it was a great night. It was a great night last night. That's what I learned, I guess. More of a, not necessarily learning something new, but reinforcing a previous.
An affirmation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. An affirmation.
An affirmation indeed. So on that note, Riley, I did not watch this game. I was stuck on the NDSU Colorado game, which was also really, really good.
Yeah,
went
that's
down
fair.
To the wire. Little bit higher scoring than the 19-17 win North Carolina eked out there at the end of the game with the missed field goal. But yeah, so the Badgers play them on Black Friday. So that's
yes.
Their other Friday kickoff aside from today, this season. They play them the morning of Black Friday in Madison this year. Did they do anything that impressive? They didn't turn the ball over, it looks like. Did they do anything impressive?
I mean, their running game is going to be solid, I think. I think their offensive line is okay. I mean, I didn't watch it that closely, but overall, their quarterback seems fairly mediocre. Their defense stiffened up in the second half. Their defense forced a turnover. So I'm sure their defense looks all right. And it looks like they'll be able to run the ball a little bit, but I'm not confident they're going to be able to put points on the board or stop any sort of high-powered offense.
I will say the one thing that makes me sad about Minnesota is Christian Driver, who is the son of Donald Driver, the legendary Green Bay Packer, transferred to Minnesota this offseason from Penn State. He had one carry for 5 yards and had one catch for 1 yard. So he didn't have a good game by any means, but I kind of wished he was a Badger, because I know Wisconsin was in his top five back when he was a high school recruit, but ultimately ends up with the rival. He's a Minnesota Golden Gopher now, who start the season 0-1
sad.
With the loss at home to UNC yesterday. I'm going to go to professional football for the What I Learned, and that is Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins, signing a contract extension this morning through the 2028 season. That ties him to Tua Tagovailoa, who, by the way, also signed a contract extension this offseason through the 2028 season. Now, what I also learned, and I guess maybe I knew, but I didn't realize, the Miami Dolphins have not won a playoff game since the 1999 NFL season. They have not won a playoff game in the 21st century. So Mike McDaniel looking to nix that trend here this offseason in a really good AFC North, or AFC East rather, with Buffalo and the New York Jets, allegedly, with Aaron Rodgers. Looking to challenge them for one of those playoff spots. So Mike McDaniel, Tua Tagovailoa tied together. I feel a lot more confident in one of them, and that would be the head coach, than I do in the other, in Tua. But it's interesting. Waiting on that LaFleur contract extension now that Jordan Love got his. That will do it for us today. Big thanks to Riley for stepping into the void that Tiny Hands left. He's back with us next week. We are off Monday due to Labor Day. However, I will still be on the air and on YouTube from the Deer District getting you ready for Wisconsin volleyball at Fiserv Forum on Monday. Alex Gravatt, Alex G, Alex and Alex Show, Monday afternoon from 2 to 3:30. If you want to hang out with us on your Labor Day, we'll be with you on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, and these same places that you find Mr. Relevant streaming live on the internet, whether that's YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be with you for about 90 minutes on Monday on Labor Day, and then I believe we're back with you Tuesday for Mr. Irrelevant. Though I'm gonna be honest with you, I'm not exactly sure, but I'll be here if they tell me to be here. I want to be here. It's up to the powers that be, not me. So we'll find out. But we're definitely back with you at the latest on Wednesday here on Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery. And guess what? When we're back with you, it's game week for the Green Bay Packers. Can't wait. Enjoy the long weekend. Enjoy the holiday weekend. Enjoy some Door County Distillery. Enjoy some Wisconsin football. Hopefully going to clean up against Western Michigan tonight in Madison. And we'll react to it all next week right here on Mr. Irrelevant. Have a safe, have a lovely Labor Day weekend. We will talk to you next week. Thanks, Riley. I'm Alex Stroph. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.